Welcome to the Sharp Angles Prop and DFS Show for the last show of the year, our Super Bowl special show. And unfortunately, Ryan McChrystal had some personal family issues that with some sickness that he is has to attend to, so he will not be joining us for this last show. But thankfully, Adam Wilde is here with a new haircut, and he is ready to talk about the DFS showdown slate with me. We will also give you five new props that Ryan came up with. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to elaborate on them like we normally would. But if you know Ryan, you know that they're well thought out. Also, the Super Bowl's being finally here, and we have everything we need to bet the big game. Warren Sharp has historically been excellent in the Super Bowl, hitting on an amazing 72% of his sides and totals bets all time, including going 2-0 last year on elevated plays. You can get access to all of Warren's betting recommendations, plus his Super Bowl 58 report for 50% off if you hear this show using the promo code SB58. That is SB as in Super Bowl 58. Head over to sharpfootball.com for more information. Also, if you could please subscribe and give the thumbs up on our YouTube channel, or if you are listening to the podcast, please rate and review it. We would greatly appreciate it. And last but certainly not least, join the Sharp Football Big Game Prop Bet Contest for a chance to win cash prizes and an all-access 2024 futures or fantasy football package. Click the link in our show description. Contest is free to anyone, but as an incentive to our loyal subscribers, or if you're thinking about getting some early access, we will double the prize for you if you are a Sharp subscriber. So that is all the business that needs to be biznatched, or as Ricky Henderson used to say, it's time to do some business. Let's go, over Ryan's props, Adam. But first, let me say hello to you. And, you know, again, just reiterate what a pleasure it has been to get to know you and to work with you during the playoffs. And I hope the future will bring us together again.
What's up, Todd? Yeah, I'm ready. This isn't just the NFL Super Bowl. This is my Super Bowl. We do this all year just so that I can have this one game where us showdown nerds get to bask in the glory of that that great showdown slate. Because, hey, guess what? Nobody has any choice but to play showdown. If you want to be involved in DraftKings, you're playing showdown this week. So, hey, bring it on. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah, I think it is a niche, but at the same time, it is a niche that a lot of smart people have taken advantage of, and I have been very, very impressed by your knowledge, and all kudos to you. I hope you have a big week.
Appreciate that.
I'm planning on doing a last year I think I did three lineups because of your influence, whether for good or for bad. I will be doing probably close to 200 lineups.
Yeah.
The 220s, the 75, the 50 cent 150. And I am eager to pick your brain. But first, we're going to split the show up into the chief props. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things for the slate with you. And then we will hit Ryan's San Francisco props, an amazing five new props after Ryan dropped four of them last week. We have five new props. The first one is Patrick Mahomes over 4.5 rush attempts. I don't have the reasoning before it, Adam, but we certainly have seen Patrick Mahomes run right. The ball more. And what another thing that we've seen, a lot of quarterbacks will run more in a big game. Because, but I can't tell you the ins and outs of why Ryan thought it was a good bet. But Patrick Mahomes over 4.5 rushing attempts. We're going to also go over on rushing attempts for Isaiah Pacheco at 15.5 rush attempts. And last but certainly not least, and this is a very interesting one that I do want to get your opinion on, Justin Watson under 1.5 receptions. What's your thoughts on Justin Watson, as I know it is something that you think might be one of the keys to the slate?
Yeah, I think this one's going to be big, and I'll elaborate on why later, because people are going to say, well, why is Justin Watson and Marquez Valdes-Scantling the decision point for the slate? Well, if you're heavy on the 49ers, it's not. But if you're heavy like me, spoiler alert, on the Chiefs, then it's a huge deal, because without getting too much into it now, you're going to have to make a decision to play one of them or the other one, and you're going to want to have to be overweight. Otherwise, I mean, you can spread yourself really thin, but I'd rather just pick the right one. So it really is nice to come into the show and see on the show sheet that Ryan has picked apparently Marquez Valdes-Scantling, unless he likes the under on both of their 1.5 receptions. But to see Justin Watson being selected for under 1.5 is really nice, because he's also the more popular one by a good bit, and he's cheaper. So people are going to naturally gravitate towards him a little bit more. But it makes it a little bit easier for me to click on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And if you're going to be as heavy on the Chiefs as I am, it's going to be hard to have zero. You probably don't want a zero of either of them, but you would probably just flip. Let's say the field's 30% Justin Watson, 15% Marquez Valdes-Scantling. You could just flip them in your optimizer, make sure that you have at least 30 to 40% MVS, and then you have your 15% Justin Watson or something like that. It's a little bit way to get leverage, pick your guy. But if you're playing anything 20 max or more, you're going to have a little bit of both of them with Chiefs heavy builds.
I want to shout out to one of our listeners, Chris Ostro. He said to us, great season, fellows. Thanks for everything in our chat. If you are want to make comments or have thoughts on the slate, please feel free to jump into the chat. I do want to thank Chris for being a loyal listener. Chris, make sure you're taking advantage of that props contest. And hope you know, if you win, I definitely want you to pop me on Twitter so I can shout you out. Thank you for being a loyal listener to the show. We really do appreciate it. All right, Adam, let's kind of transition over to some of the questions I have. I want to do the captains at the end, because yeah. I think that is, you know, I think that and a deeper dive into ownership is important to leave people with that last. But give me the players that you plan to be under on based on ownerships overall, not specific, just the captains.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be underweight on all of the skill position players for the 49ers. I'm just going to be underweight on the 49ers in general. That's the approach that I'm going to be taking for this game. I have a few unknowns left before I'm comfortable building out all my lineups, but I'm going to be pretty much underweight across the board on the 49ers. The big question left for me is, how little am I willing to play Brock Purdy? And that answer might be zero. I may have zero Brock Purdy, because what I think I want to do is have 100%.
That's Purdy bold.
Yeah. And I think I want to have 100% Christian McCaffrey, and I want to fit as many 4-2s and 5-1s for the Chiefs. Actually, I guess it's technically 1-5s and 2-4 since the 49ers are favorite, but I want to fit as many Chiefs heavy builds as I can, and I want to keep that my player pool consolidated so that if I nail a Chiefs heavy build, I have every out. If for anyone who's comfortable with poker terms, I have every out to actually bank the whole thing. So I think how I'm going to do that is have 100% Christian McCaffrey in the flex, and we'll talk about a little bit later. We have queued up in the show sheet who I might want to play in the flex as opposed to captain and vice versa. So yeah, just chief skill position players, all the expensive guys, you know, Kittle, Ayuk, and Debo, I'll be underweight on.
All right, so it begs the question, is the reason for this that you just feel really strongly about the Chiefs, or is it more of a game theory play that you're going so heavy on the Chiefs, or a combination of both?
It's kind of difficult to explain, but a lot of it has to do with, because the 49ers are they get very difficult to stack because their players are more expensive. When you have the Chiefs with MVS and Justin Watson and Noah Gray, it's a little bit more affordable. And it's also just easier to get the Chiefs to if Patrick Mahomes has a Patrick Mahomes game, he's carrying the whole team with him. When you have
so more of a game theory.
Exactly.
It's more, I'm going to let you finish. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I would say based on what you're saying, it's more of a game theory,
right?
Way to play it than it is, that you think the Chiefs are going to just knock out, and win the Super Bowl.
And to that point, it being game three, the field picked this route for me. I did not choose my own route. Just based on how ownership is, led me to believe, okay, I think I'm just going to go all in on the Chiefs, because if they're going to have lower ownership on a lot of their plays, and I think that it's easier to stack them, easier to find a successful lineup, because the problem with the 49ers is kind of like we talked last week. You might get Brock Purdy to be in the optimizer and captain, but who are you going to bring with him? That's going to be really difficult to determine, because you might get a rushing touchdown out of Debo. You might get two rushing touchdowns out of Christian McCaffrey. There's a lot different paths for the 49ers to succeed. So it being easier is not the reason that I am going to be heavy in favor of the Chiefs, but it does certainly help that it's a lot easier to stack the Chiefs than the 49ers.
All right. I do have one more follow-up question on that, which is for someone who wants to go the other route.
Yeah.
What do you think, because I'm sure you thought through the whole perspective before you came up with what you did. If someone is a true believer Niners fan, you really think that it's their time, Kyle Shanahan is finally going to get that, ring. If you were playing the Niners, how would you approach it?
Yeah, it would have to be the exact opposite. So until a few days ago, I was actually thinking I was going to be heavily overweight on the 49ers. And what you would have to do is probably be super underweight on Christian McCaffrey and stack the passing game. So lots of George Kittle, lots of Brandon Ayuk, maybe even a little. I hate being underweight on Debo Samuel, because Debo Samuel's ownership is never egregious anyways. He's always priced a little bit higher than people are comfortable with, and he's difficult to stack because he can score in so many different ways, like I just said. So you'd probably include some Debo. You'd have Brock Purdy at captain with like three of his receivers, Kittle, Debo, Ayuk. You're going to miss out on Kelce and probably Mahomes in that lineup. So then you'd probably want to go with Pacheco as well. I'm a huge advocate for playing Pacheco and Christian McCaffrey in the same lineup for this slate as well. So if you did slide Christian McCaffrey into a lineup, that means you're definitely not going to fit Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes if you're including Purdy and McCaffrey in a 49ers heavy lineup. So you probably just throw Isaiah Pacheco in there and hope that it's a rushing day, which Ryan did say he's getting over 15.5 attempts. So it could bode well for that. So yeah, pretty much the exact opposite of what I'm saying. And that could be perfectly viable too. I think the only difference between how viable that build is and the builds that I want to go with is that you're going to have like 30-ish to 40-ish more cumulative ownership than I am, I think.
All right. We talked last week about defense and kickers, how they are part of showdown slates, and the guy who hasn't been along for the showdown ride all year gets used to that. This week, let's take that to the next level and talk about how you plan to use them. How would you plan to use them in this slate, if you were going to use them? And are you planning on being heavy on any of the four?
Well, with showdown, it's always how owned is the defense going to be? Because if it's a highly owned defense, I'm not going to play them ever on any showdown slate or any short slate. But I usually, for small field, I limit to two kicker in defense. And I also don't like playing the kicker from the other team. It's a callback to a couple episodes ago or maybe last week, just because I have a sour taste in my mouth from not banking a tournament because my kicker scored points and then my defense lost points. So it's not necessarily set in stone that you shouldn't have the kicker from the other team against your defense, but it doesn't feel good. That's small field. In large field, when you're talking about like the 150 max, especially when you're talking about like the 50 cent where people just do whatever the heck and don't care, You can probably leave that at three, and maybe you have double kicker defense, double defense kicker. That's perfectly fine for those, because somewhere in the top 150 viable lineups, there will be a lineup with double kicker defense. But the other thing I wanted to mention is the double dip, definitely something to consider. So that's playing the kick returner and the defense in the same lineup. I was going to ask you about that
next. I'm glad.
Yeah, I actually don't know who's going to be the kick returner yet for the Chiefs. Is it going to be Kadarius Toney? I think it might be, since he's active again. But I'm not 100% certain. So we have to look into that. But when you're already playing the bottom of the roster with the Chiefs receivers anyway, especially if you're doing 150 max and you're doing all Chiefs stacks, you're going to get every combination of stacking Patrick Mahomes. So if you're going to have lineups that are going to have the let's just say Kadarius Toney is the kick returner for the sake of conversation. If you're going to have lineups that are already including Kadarius Toney, you can boost the defense in lineups that, like, create a rule. If Kadarius Toney is in the lineup, boost the defense X amount. And then that just means if Kadarius Toney returns a kickoff or a punt for a touchdown, you also get points for the defense. So it's like a stack that's super underutilized. I mean, because it rarely happens, but if someone does return a kick, that's huge. You're probably going to have the defense with that player in the optimal lineup.
Now, Debo sometimes returns kicks,
sometimes,
doesn't he?
He does.
And
sometimes,
I think,
yeah,
in a game like this, if you're going to do it, so that could be a super sneaky way to take advantage. Who are the what kick returners are you most high on? Is it Kadarius Toney?
Kadarius.
The great thing about Kadarius Toney dropping back for a return is that he literally cannot be offside.
He literally cannot be offsides. Yeah, we have to wait to make sure, because I think Mecole is also active, so it could be either of them. Sky Moore got activated, so maybe Kadarius Toney isn't even active for the Super Bowl, which would be crazy as much as he's been talking in the media this week. But so that's something to monitor, but just consider the double dip when you're building. And then the other thing is, if you're going to be heavy on a team, especially if you're going to do an onslaught, then you want to boost the defense too. So if I'm going to be building a ton of Chiefs 5x1s or 1x5s, then I'm going to want to have a ton of Chiefs defense too.
All right. So we talked about how my optimizer last week, I think we talked privately. My optimizer allows you to put in a percentage of exactly how much you want of a certain thing. So if I was making a rule for, you know, let's combine all four, you know, the two punt returners, the two, you know, on average, if you were going to pick one of those to play a lot, what would be the max, you know, like on out of 100, what is the number that you would possibly set the amount that you want?
I guess it depends on who the player ends up being, because sometimes a kick returner is a viable player in your lineups. Like, let's just say that Justin Watson returned kicks, just for the sake of conversation. Justin Watson might find his way into 30% of your lineups if you don't lower that manually. And so if he were the kick returner and he was already in 30% of your lineups, then you just boost the defense and make sure that they're in a lot of lineups together. Because if you're building a ton of Chiefs heavy lineups, you're going to have probably 30% of the Chiefs defense anyways. So you might as well just make sure you're including a rule that gets them in a lot of lineups together. Obviously, Justin Watson is not going to be returning the kicks, but whoever is returning the kicks probably is going to be in a lot of lineups anyways if you have 150 Chief stacks, right? So I don't know the exact number. It would be based off of how much you naturally get for that returner. I don't know so much that you would boost the returner unless it's a tiebreaker, unless you're looking at MVS and you're looking at Justin Watson and you don't have a lean either way, then you might boost the one that returns kicks. But it is more so just making sure that you try to get the defense in there, because it is sweet when you hit on the double dip and it's like you flocked everybody because you have the 5% wide receiver that randomly, you know, scores 6 points, but then you also have the defense paired with that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's move on to the next subject. You mentioned roster construction. Basically, it's either going to be 3-3 from the two teams, 4-2, or 5-1. Where are you leaning on construction this week for your Chiefs stacks?
Yeah, it's weird because technically it's 1 by 5 if it's the underdog that you're doing the onslaught for. So it's kind of confusing. I always mess it up, but so the Chiefs would be the 1 by 5. But yeah, I plan on doing a lot of Chiefs onslaughts. I've actually been dabbling with doing 20 Chiefs onslaughts. I don't know if this is the best part in the show sheet to get to this yet, but I think it fits pretty well here is that the problem with running 20 Chiefs 5x1s, which is what I'm strongly considering, it's really hard to get to the most viable 5x1s without playing two of Justin Watson, Noah Gray, and MVS. And I don't want to do that. I'm definitely going to make a rule
So
that
that's
will not.
one rule. We'll get to
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Let's save that for the rule
Okay.
section.
So that's why it's hard to get to as many 5x1s as I want to get to, but I will be heavy on the Chiefs. And the only thing that I really have left to decide is if I'm going to allow any Brock Purdy. Because if I do allow Brock Purdy, then I can get weird with how I go about having like Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk or Brock Purdy and George Kittle in a skinny stack with my bring back. But that means I can't be 100% on Christian McCaffrey. So it's, am I going to allow any Brock Purdy? And if I am allowing Brock Purdy, then that's going to decrease my 100% on Christian McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey is going to be like 70% owned. So if you're anything less than 100%, good luck. You can't be overweight unless you're 100%.
All right. So I had one and I might have forgot it. Just give me a sec. All right. We'll move on and I'm sure it'll come back to me. All right. Let's circle back to Ryan and get his last two props. And both of these are for the San Francisco 49ers. The first one is Elijah Mitchell, longest rush over 3.5 yards. Ryan has talked all year. I will talk on this one a bit. Ryan has talked all year about the way to get to the Chiefs defense is through the running game. And, if Elijah Mitchell gets 4 or 5 carries, the chance that he gets over 3.5 yards is pretty good. And the last one that Ryan is giving us for the year is Brock Purdy over 54.5 first quarter passing yards. And I'm going to throw out a wild conspiracy theory since I don't know why he did it. But I'm going to guess, a lot of the good play callers like Kyle Shanahan, what they do is they come up with, I think it's the first 20 plays.
Scripted
Yep,
15.
they script it. And I would guess, if I was, getting into my partner for the whole season's brain, I would guess that he thinks that the script early will be to try and get Brock Purdy going after him not playing well the last couple weeks. So that's going to do it for the props. And now let's talk a little bit about rules for optimizers. We talked a little bit about it so far, but just give us some, you mentioned, you don't want the two defenses, you don't want the
Yeah.
two kickers. You have to make a rule to make sure that doesn't happen. And that's where the rule on my optimizer might be good. If you don't want really the kicker with the opposite defense, but you don't want to completely, not have it, you could leave 10% with that rule that I
Yeah.
talk about, and you could make it from 0 to 2, right? So if you make it from 1 to 2, you're going to get one of them in every lineup, and you're allowing for both of them to be together. But if you only want a smidgen, and you're not even sure you want that smidgen, you could make a rule 10%, 0 to 2, and that way there is just a slight chance that that comes into one or two of your lineups if you're doing 20 teams. What other rules should we be thinking about for showdowns?
Yeah, it's so hard not to touch on the rules because it's such a big part of everything. All the decisions are going to be based around, all right, what rules can I put in place to narrow down what my builds look like? So yeah, the biggest one obviously is the if you go right now to whatever your optimizer you're going to use, or if you're going to hand build, it's fine too. And you just want Chiefs 5x1s. Oh, like a lot of them are going to have Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce in them. That eats up so much of the salary that you have to have two cheap players. Just like I talk about with the Dolphins are the poster child of this because their distribution is so top heavy. It doesn't really work. I mean, you're going to go to a Dolphins slate and you're going to be like, oh, I'm just going to stack 5x1 with the Dolphins. And I'm just going to have like Braxton Berrios and whoever else in all my lineups, Braxton Berrios and River Craycraft and all your lineups. They don't score enough points. You need one of them to catch a touchdown just to be competitive, even if all four of your top end guys hit, because guess what? Everybody else has those top end guys in their lineup too. You just need one of the top end guys to not do too great and you're dead in the water. So you're going to have to build a rule that says, I will not have two of Juwan Jennings, MVS, like Mecole Hardman, if he's active, Noah Gray, like all those guys sub 3K or around 3K and lower. You do not want to have multiple of those players because they do not have the ceiling to contribute to your lineup, even when you have four studs in your lineup and the four studs do good, because you're blocked. Even if your four studs go off, you're blocked because so many other people have those four studs. The only out that you can have for that lineup to become successful is if one of the two guys that you played under 3K has a touchdown. If they catch a touchdown, then you're okay. But otherwise, if you get 3 points from Mecole Hardman and you get 3 points from Noah Gray, you did not score enough. So definitely consider.
And even if you get a touchdown, you might not get there.
Yeah, you might not. 3,000, but that's the only entry. Like
Noah Gray gets 1 for 5 and a touchdown. That's not going to get you there necessarily. Right. So basically that rule is not more than one of anybody under $3,000. So basically what you got to do is you got to take everyone that you're allowing to have ownership, because you do want to have a lot of, you know, you do want to limit it so that you're not getting guys who just don't play, right? So you want to take the guys who are going to be on the field that are low priced and put a, back to that rule that I talked about, you know, 0 to 1. Right. Mm-hmm. If you only want one as the max, then it's 0 to 1. They don't have to be in the lineup, but if there are, it can only be one of them. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yeah. And depending on which optimizer you're using, if you do have the amount of control that you do, it would also behoove you in 150 max to let that slide on a very, very rare basis, because it can happen. It's just extremely unlikely. So in small field 20 max, I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't have a single lineup that would allow for two of those players. And then another tip, because this has burned me, is because I do always make this rule, but Juwan Jennings is always 4K. And so he never falls into the 3K category. So when you do under 3K, you also have to find a way to incorporate Juwan Jennings, because you can't do 4K and lower, because you might want
you want
4K to, range.
Yeah, so most optimizers, you have to put each name in.
Right.
Right. There's not a rule. And only one, I mean, I guess Fantasy Labs might have a rule.
I think you can do that on Fantasy Labs, but you're right. Otherwise, you need to do one of and then insert each player's name.
Right.
So make sure you include Juwan Jennings in that, because he's essentially a 3K wide receiver, but he's always priced at 4,000 for some reason. That's like the biggest rule of the whole slate to consider, is just making sure that you don't fall into that trap, because your optimizer is going to want you to do that. And that's fine, because the optimizers work off of median projections, unless you change that too, which is a good idea to tinker with. But if they're going off of median projections, they're like, okay, great. How can I hammer the best plays in? Well, give me four of the best plays and two really cheap guys and it'll fit. Okay, that's good for median projection. But when Rashee Rice goes off for 30 points, that's out the window.
Yeah. So let's talk about, we talked about is there any off the board play that you wouldn't a guy that really doesn't play that much that you would consider mixing into a small amount of lineups?
I mean, just paying an egregious amount of attention to the bottom of the Chiefs wide receiver rotation, because their wide receiver rotation is always so thin anyways. So few wide receivers get any attention outside of Rashee Rice that it is going to be so important to nail that down. But I really, really want to know who's going to be the guy after MVS and Justin Watson. And that's going to be something that you need to pay attention to all the way up until game time, because they could anyone between Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, and Kadarius Toney could be inactive for the game, and we actually don't know yet. I mean, they could even make Justin Ross active if they wanted to. And it's going to be really difficult to nail them. Like, you can point to last year when Sky Moore caught the touchdown, but he wasn't even – that was the wrong play. I mean, Patrick Mahomes came to the sideline right after and said, we were in the wrong formation. It wasn't even supposed to go to Sky Moore. So you're not going to find this year Sky Moore, because there wasn't even supposed to be a last year Sky Moore. So that's going to be the most important thing for us to watch. And whoever that guy is that is on after Justin Watson and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I'm going to end up having a good bit of in 150 max for sure.
The touchdown that launched an awful lot of bad best ball teams, the Sky Moore.
Yeah,
the
dynasty trades too. Yeah. I mean, everybody got validation on one play that wasn't even designed to happen.
All right, so the last question for me on low-owned guys is Elijah Mitchell. If you're playing a lot of McCaffrey, you're obviously not going to have any Elijah Mitchell. Yeah. But if you decide to go the other way, like you said, and you're going to go with a lot of Brock Purdy or one of the three receivers, how much would you still kind of avoid taking Elijah Mitchell? What do some of the top guys out there do? And what are your thoughts, Adam, on playing Elijah Mitchell?
Elijah Mitchell is much more interesting on the slate because he's much more affordable, instead of being like 5K, because he's always priced as if Christian McCaffrey was out or something, just because that workload is so egregious that if Christian McCaffrey were to miss time, he would need to be more expensive. But he's only 2,800 on this slate, which is pretty solid. So, and there's so many plays in that 2,800 range, like nobody's clicking Elijah Mitchell instead of Justin Watson. So that kind of makes you want to click Elijah Mitchell. I would definitely create a rule not to include him in any lineups with Christian McCaffrey, unless you're talking like huge field, 150 max, and you're doing all 49er stacks. If you use too many rules and you're doing 150 max and you have said, I only want 49ers builds, so that's 3x3, 4x2, 5x1. Actually, you'd probably take out the 3x3 too. Then you can't put too many rules, because the lineups that you're going to get at the bottom of that 150 are going to be so absolutely egregious. So I just wanted to put that out there. So for that situation, you would allow Elijah Mitchell to be in the same lineup as Christian McCaffrey, because Elijah Mitchell could fall into the end zone on three rushes and easily pay off 2,800, right? So he's really good leverage against Justin Watson and MVS, whoever ends up being more popular. Also, he's good leverage if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, has happened. Millie Maker that had Marcus Mariota when Derek Carr got his concussion a couple years back. It happens. People do it all the time. So you ask, like, what are the high-end guys doing? Well, if you think that I am a risk taker in the showdown building field, the really high-end guys, the guys that make the most money, do some of the most insane things to be in the top of the tournament, Binka 150 per 1,000 person tournament. And one of those things would be preparing for a Christian McCaffrey injury. So what they would do, someone who I'd consider a professional, they would set us out like 15 lineups that say Christian McCaffrey got hurt. And they would spend legitimate time building those 15 lineups that where Christian McCaffrey was hurt. So that's what the professionals would handle Elijah Mitchell. And I think that's pretty cool. I'm not willing to get that far into the weeds, but I will say Elijah Mitchell is a pretty good large field pivot in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And another way, a backup running back, it could be a backup chief running back too. You know, we've seen Pacheco get banged up. And he's going to have a lot of ownership too. So the way it could also happen is if the game gets out of control, right? And even though you know, if you're up 21 or down 21 in the Super Bowl and you know what your fate is, you don't want to take a chance on especially Christian McCaffrey getting hurt going into the offseason. So another kind of hidden way, you know, Christian McCaffrey, you know, if you were building lineups where Christian McCaffrey is your captain, I think you could mix in a few with Elijah Mitchell, because if McCaffrey really, really crushes, Elijah Mitchell might get the mop-up duty at the end and they both could get there.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the next question, you know, to our last subject, which is let's start incorporating some ownership. I made a few questions based on my thoughts as someone who hasn't put in the work that you have.
Sure.
I want to get your thoughts on it. So I'm going to start with the ownership. The first one that jumped out at me, because again, we had this conversation last week about how historically some smart guys don't like playing quarterbacks in the captain spot because they tend to be overowned versus the percentage of time that they are the nuts. 33% captain ownership right now on Patrick Mahomes. As a guy who is going to play a ton of lineups, are you going to be over that 33%?
There's no shot that Patrick Mahomes is going to get to 33%, but I see him at, I have nine, and I think I have nine in two places, but let's just say, well, I guarantee even whatever site has him at 33%, it won't be 33%, because the overarching theme of this slate that's going to make it really fun is that captain ownership is going to be a flat line. Like there's.
Yeah, this doesn't. Oh, I'm looking at captain. You are correct.
Yeah, there's no
I
shot.
Was looking at the projection. My apologies. Oh,
that makes sense.
It's and I'm not used to looking at it this way. It is right around 10%. So
okay, yeah, it'll be around 10.
Completely different. So, what do you think about his ownership at 10%? That seems pretty. Yeah.
So that's good. That I'm comfortable with that because, and I think it will be a little bit higher than 10%. So 10% is like the number that every site gives to the quarterbacks almost always. If it's a good quarterback that's got a name behind him, he's going to get slated for about 10% ownership, maybe plus or minus two. So 10% is hard to trust. I think it might be a little bit more higher because of the quote unquote casuals that are going to be playing the game. They know Patrick Mahomes. It's easier to say, oh, I've never played Showdown, but I get that the captain gets 1.5 points. Well, let me put Patrick Mahomes there because I know it's Patrick Mahomes. It's going to go up a little bit, but I'm still comfortable playing Patrick Mahomes because I don't really have a choice. If I'm going to be playing the Chiefs so heavily, I'm going to end up with a lot of Patrick Mahomes. I will say in small field 20 max, I think it's a pretty solid strategy to only play Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, and Isaiah Pacheco at captain, but have Patrick Mahomes in 100% of the flex spots because the Chiefs have shown they can have a pretty successful fantasy day without scoring a lot of points, but that doesn't bode well for Patrick Mahomes. It bodes well for, you know, some of the players around him. Travis Kelce might have a touchdown with 150 yards, but they don't necessarily light it up altogether. So in smaller field stuff, I could see omitting Patrick Mahomes entirely from captain. If you're going anything above 20 max, I don't think you have a choice but to play all of the Chiefs studs at captain. Just don't make the mistake of going too low down the depth charts for your captains. Like if you're playing the Chiefs, it doesn't matter if you're in a trillion person contest that's 150 max, you do not need any Justin Watson lineups. You don't. And if Justin Watson
captain lineup.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
So, I know, but I just wanted to clarify.
Right. So even if you feel like there's a chance Justin Watson could be the captain, there is no world. There's no amount of lineups that where he is the, you know, plus EV play, if we want to use that term. So anyways, especially with the Chiefs, stick to the Rashee Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and then just get really unique with how you build from there.
Christian McCaffrey is the most highest owned at 21% with the captain position. What do you think about the strategy of going with him 100% at captain? Because then you could mix in, you know, some Purdy lineups, some Mahomes lineups, You know, you could get weird. You know, as I looked at that, and I know you talked about playing 100% of McCaffrey with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
What about 100% of McCaffrey in the captain?
This is where it gets so weird, because when you're delivering showdown advice, it's so difficult to say that this player is the best captain by a mile, but I will not play them at captain at all. And it's just so many layers to how I would arrive at that point. There's going to be tons of really, really smart people that only play Christian McCaffrey at captain, and they figure out how to get weird elsewhere. Really, a lot of showdown is just how you can get weird elsewhere while making the objectively right plays. So Christian McCaffrey seems like an objectively right play at captain. I feel good about having Christian McCaffrey in the flex in all of my Chiefs heavy builds, because the way that that succeeds, there's a few outs in which, you know, even if the 49ers have a bad day, I don't see Christian McCaffrey having a bad day in any way by at the end of the day. He's so versatile. He's so useful in salting the game away. He's so useful in catching up that I don't see a lot of outs. So what I would rather do if I'm not going to play the 49ers is just play the player that is most likely to succeed. The only part that's tough about that is, you're right, if you don't have any of them at captain and Christian McCaffrey has a blow up day, you're in a tough spot. If you play 100% of Christian McCaffrey in the flex and none of them at captain, you want 16 points from Christian McCaffrey. And if you get 16 points, you're in a really, really good spot. But if you play, if Christian McCaffrey has 2 touchdowns and 100 yards, I mean, you're dead in the water. You might as well not watch anymore. So biggest decision point, as always, is how much Christian McCaffrey do you play, and do you play him at captain? I think a lot of people are going to just not play him because they see how high that ownership is. So I think that it's actually going to be around 60 to 65%. I don't think it's going to hit that 70% or over number. But the reason he's the most popular captain is because he's the best captain, and that's because he's so versatile. He will be utilized in every game script. So best captain, but I will not have him at captain in small field 20 megs.
All right. Another way to play the Niners is the fact that Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle, because there are three of them,
yeah,
none of their ownership is really going to get out of hand at captain. Right now, we are looking at, let's see, about 7% for Debo and Ayuk, and yeah, right around 7% for all three. I think that does open up the opportunity to pick one, right? If you really think that, you know, if you know, like, and for me, it might be Debo. You know, if I could see myself, as I start narrowing down after this conversation what I want to do, I could see a 50, 60% Debo, because he can get there like McCaffrey does, on the ground as well as through the air. You max him with Purdy on a decent amount of those lineups, but you also can make some without the quarterback because of the running element. And if Christian McCaffrey goes down, you know, yes, Elijah Mitchell, but, you know, also Debo.
Sure. I'm speaking in such absolute on the Chiefs just because that's kind of how you have to feel when you're building lineups for showdown, especially in when all of the contests are going to be so many people. You really do need to feel confident about your decision. But in reality, we're talking about like splitting hairs between being equally as heavy on the 49ers. So I definitely don't want to discourage anybody who does want to build heavy on the 49ers. The wind could blow a different way, and I'd be ready just like that to build the 49ers. In fact, I know exactly how I would build the 49ers if I changed my mind. One of the ways would be Debo Samuel captain lineups, and probably excluding Christian McCaffrey in a good bit of those Debo Samuel captain lineups, just because now you're getting really, really strange and really separating yourself from the field by just doing two things. And it's not just, okay, I played Debo, so I'm omitting Christian McCaffrey because Debo negatively impacts Christian McCaffrey, which we don't even have a big enough sample size to know to be absolutely true. It's more so, wow, I've got Debo Samuel at captain and I can afford expensive Chiefs. That's where you get a little bit weird, and you still keep like your median projection is going to be in a reasonable ballpark. You're going to be different from the field. Like, you could play Debo Samuel at captain, you're going to want to play Brock Purdy with him. Maybe, I guess, you could tell yourself a story that you could play Debo without Purdy at captain, but I don't think that that would be necessary. And then you could still probably fit Mahomes and, you know, one of his receivers. So, yeah, I could definitely talk myself into like a Debo Samuel captain with Brock Purdy in the flex, with also Patrick Mahomes in the flex, picking one of Patrick Mahomes' ancillary receivers that he just has to throw a long bomb to, like Justin Watson or MVS, and then you still got money left over for the last two spots. That'd be an awesome lineup.
All right. That is some great information. Next up on my hit parade is Rashi Rice. He's fifth in captain ownership, but third in ownership overall. So does that is first of all, in a larger picture kind of way, is that the kind of thing you look for when you're trying to decide on who your captain's going to be, where they're, you know, for some reason they seem like they're going to be owned more overall than at the captain? And how do you feel that specifically with Mr. Rice?
So my rule with captains in general, I guess it's not super pertinent to Rashi Rice, but it's something to consider, is that the rule that I've created myself for the past couple of years is that I'm only playing someone in captain who has the ability to have the top score of the slate, because what people fall into the trap of is thinking that a cheaper player can make up the difference at captain by having an okay game because you could fit more expensive players in the flex. Never tends to be the case. The optimal captain is almost always the player who has the ceiling to outscore everybody on the slate. Rashi Rice dabbles with that ceiling. He doesn't really have good games with Travis Kelce, so that's definitely something that I would consider when building my lineups. So if I am going to go with Rashi Rice at captain, I might lower or be underweight on Travis Kelce. The problem is his ownership's already creeping up. I actually have him at 20% on the site that I'm using, and I think he falls probably somewhere around 15%. So that's the problem with Super Bowl, and it happens every single year. A good play can't be a good play for that long before he becomes a bad play. And that's why I was all in on the 49ers, and now I'm all in on the Chiefs the next week, because once you have enough time, ownership changes, people change their mind, and just it's fluid. So Rashi Rice was a really good play. 76 is way, way too cheap for Rashi Rice for the ceiling that he's already demonstrated. And I think he could even have a higher ceiling here in the Super Bowl, because he seems to be the only receiver that Patrick Mahomes actually trusts outside of Travis Kelce. He's just too cheap, and that's going to make his ownership be higher than it probably should be. If he gets to like 20% like I'm seeing, not going to be as big a fan of Rashi Rice. If he can get closer to 15%, I'll be overweight on Rashi Rice in like 150 max type stuff.
So that leaves us with the last question. Who's your favorite captain?
Rashi Rice was my favorite captain. 20% is a little bit steep. I think Isaiah Pacheco is becoming my favorite captain, and I think I want to play a lot of Isaiah Pacheco with Christian McCaffrey, because I think Christian McCaffrey is more of a wash. Like, okay, for example, a lot of people make a rule not to play the two running backs in the same lineup, and the reason they do that is because one running back succeeds in a game script where they're winning, and then the other probably doesn't succeed because they're losing. But Christian McCaffrey is a wash there. It doesn't matter if they're winning or they're losing. He's going to get 20 touches either through the air or on the ground. So I don't even consider Christian McCaffrey as a running back for that rule. So I definitely wouldn't put that rule in place for this one. And you should make sure that it doesn't get automatically loaded if you click the box that says load preset rules for your optimizer. Definitely take that one out, because Christian McCaffrey is not negatively impacted by game script. So that being said, people will probably still have that rule. So I'd like to just kind of break that rule and make sure I get a bunch of lineups with Pacheco and Christian McCaffrey, and then double down, get Pacheco at captain, and maybe just go light on, like, you can stack the Chiefs heavily without having a passing game stack. So you could do Isaiah Pacheco at captain with Harrison Butker, Chiefs defense, Patrick Mahomes, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Christian McCaffrey, just off the top of my head. And that lineup is perfectly viable with a not really receiving back at captain. So that's kind of the approach that I would take, because if you put Pacheco at captain, you're going to get naturally kind of weird cheap stacks.
All right. Adam, a tremendous amount of great information. As I've mentioned, it's been a real good real good getting to know you during these weeks together. That's going to do it not only for this episode, but for the season. We're still working out what we're going to do next year. I do know Rich Rebar and Ray Summerlin will be doing some things pre-draft. And Ray has asked me to, not next week, but the week after, talk a little bit of best ball. So you can look for that coming up. But keep in touch with us on our Twitter feeds. We are looking forward to giving you more content. But for now, for Adam, for Ryan, and for myself, I want to thank you all and good luck with the Super Bowl.